With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the On The Box podcast, a television show podcast on the Anfield Index podcast channel. And once again, it's a Game of Thrones special series. It's Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 2 review. Ah, a return to its roots this week as GOT delivers nudity, action and plenty of story advancement. So to cover this episode, which was called Stormborn, I have the one woman who thinks she's Daenerys Targaryen of Anfield Index, but in fact she's soon to be the defeated Cersei. It's Nina Carza. Welcome, Nina.
How you doing, Theon Greyjoy, you little coward?
Fuck off. You're looking at Jon Snow, bitch.
Oh, in your fucking
hey, team. I'm a mix of Stark and Targaryen fucking dragon blood. And anyway,
mate, you're Ironborn.
Fuck that shit. You're on then. Right, anyway, we have a man that can talk a lot and get himself out of tight situations. Mostly he's bent. It's the Tyrion of Anfield Index himself, Mr. Cam Brange. How you doing, dude?
I'm great. Buzzing after that great show. And honoured to be compared to Tyrion, I must say.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Who wouldn't want to be?
He's fucking awesome. This show tells you size does not matter, people. He's fucking awesome. Right, anyway, the episode, guys, starts with a storm where Khaleesi was born. Stormborn, beautiful. So Tyrion says it exactly as it is on a day. That's when she was born, on a day where there was a storm. And she's in a right mood like a spoilt brat. I mean, that's what I got anyway from it. What did you guys think? She just wanted to go and fucking fight. She was just like, yeah, I want to go attack King's Landing. Cam, what were your thoughts like in that opening scene? I really thought she was like, the fuck, woman, calm down. Chill out.
No, for me, it was more about the way she went for Varys. I just thought she was going to just have him there. And then she was just looking for a reason to just chop his head off, burn him, whatever it was going to be. She grilled him. And the way she grilled him, she was so clever. She was just throwing everything back at him. But how cool was Varys? He was just taking it. Even Tyrion tried to just come in on it a little bit to stick up for Varys and say, you know, he's one of the good guys. He's been loyal to you. And she questioned that loyalty in such a way. It was fire. That, for me, it was almost like the best bit of the whole episode was that. But the episode had so many twists in it anyway. But I was just taken aback by it all, the way she had him. But she mellowed at the same time. But then she was cruel in that mellowness, the way she finished him off at the end. And he just had that little smile as if to say, yeah, this is one queen I cannot betray in any way. So I really enjoyed that scene. For me, it was the best scene in the whole episode.
Lynn, what was your thoughts on it?
I found it really quite refreshing that someone actually pulled him up on it, because we see it as a viewer season in, season out, constantly him changing his loyalties. I touched on it last episode as well, that, you know, he just goes to wherever the power is. Do you know what I mean? He's like a magpie when it comes to power. Wherever he thinks that they're going to win, he'll just drift off. And I love the fact that she you know, she kind of opened up his past in front of him, like, you betrayed my dad, then you betrayed X person, and then Y, and then said, it was like Cam said, she was really, you know, she was quite feisty, but really cool and composed because she was speaking about her dad there as well. Do you know what I mean? She could have easily lost her shit. She didn't. I appreciated that. And I love, and like Cam said, I love the fact that she kind of ended it like, you betray me and I'll burn you, or worse to that effect. And I love that, you know, she was actually showing some leadership, you know, that was all her, despite her hand, like Cam was trying to interject all the time, trying to stop her from, you know, like trying to make a see reason. But I love that. And I love the fact that he's a little snake. And I think Littlefinger's a little snake. And obviously we'll speak about him later, but he kind of got his just desserts as well. So I appreciate that.
I don't think, I thought Tyrion was like, it's so weird seeing Tyrion as the peacemaker for once. Like he was like trying to calm her down. But I don't know. I thought Varys gave it back really well. I'm more with Cam. Like, I thought he was dead calm, dead cool. He was being honest. You know, it was Robert, you know, and also Robert killed your king because he was a mad king. He was burning people, and there was loads of mentions to, you know, ashes, and she just wants to go and kill things. Whereas Varys and Tyrion are saying, look, man, just calm down. There's other ways to
win this. He had to be honest because she was the only person who pulled him up on his past.
I know.
What I liked was his explanation of where he came from.
Yeah, that, you know,
where he came from as a child, what they did to him.
I like that.
Living in the gutter, and then I'm for the people. Now, she pulled him up on that again at the end. She said, if you ever think I'm failing the people, I want you to tell me, just like you've told me now, don't go behind my back.
Yeah, that's perfect. But what I'm trying to say is, if we've all watched the seasons, and maybe, you know, I've just watched all fucking six seasons in the last couple of weeks. But I see Varys. What I see from Varys is always siding with the good. I know it seems to people that it's going the other way, but when he was with Ned, right? But obviously he doesn't stay there. So what he does is he protects himself always. But when Ned was in the dungeons, he was always giving him water, always telling him, like, you know, just do this, just do that. It was always Littlefinger that was the twat. He was always trying to save, and then obviously trying to save Tyrion when they were going together. He was trying to get him across. And obviously Tyrion just, you know, he bumped into Ser Jorah in the end and got kidnapped. But Varys was actually trying to take him away from it. And, you know, just, he knows Tyrion was good, was doing the right thing, wasn't trying to hurt Sansa. All the things that were like, you know, you think Tyrion fucking Lannister is a dick, but if you go back and look at the series, he's actually one of the heroes, the good guys.
But let's not forget, he almost tried to have her killed as well. So she actually has legitimate reason.
On orders.
On orders, though. Yeah.
On orders, but, you know, she had every right to pull him up on it.
Oh, yeah, of course. All I'm saying is he's part of... You do what your king says normally, right? You don't go against it. And if you think that's a danger and everything's going right, you're fine. But then obviously he saw how the dynasty was going to fuck after Robert went and the kid was in charge. What's his name? Jocelyn.
So not big a snake as we may think he is then.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at. But there's two sides to it. It's great to see this debate on it, though. But obviously, as soon as, you know, that little exchange has happened, who turns up? The witch, Melisandre, the buddhi, the old woman, turns up. And there's a really interesting change to the prophecy here. Because obviously the prince who was promised can bring the light. But Melisandre says in Valyrian that noun is no gender. So now... I mean, what do you guys think of, do you think of that? Because the prince or the princess can bring the light. Interesting. I don't know, Nin, what do you think? Do you think she's, I mean, obviously it wasn't Melisandre that did that, that said that. It was actually Missandei. Why do I keep saying her name wrong?
It's Missandei. I don't, you know what?
It's because them two. Yes.
They're too similar.
The same scene, because I was thinking, I don't know how Gags is going to get out of this one.
Yeah, no, that's why I keep doing Missandei. Yeah, so let's call her Missy, right? So Missy, how did Missy... I mean, she's basically opened it up now, because that's the only theory left. Obviously, last year, the massive theory was who is Jon Snow's mum and dad. And we now know it's Rhaegar, Targaryen, and Lyanna Stark. So we know that now. So that big mystery is done. Now we want him to find out himself. But this one, the Azor Ahai, big theory of this prince, Is it John or is it Daenerys Nyn?
Well, he came back to life, didn't he?
True, true. It's a great point. So, yeah, still points. I think it's interesting that the way, you know, what do we call her? The Red Witch. Is that the best way of calling her?
Yeah, let's just call her the Red Witch.
Because basically, she just turned up there to take refuge and obviously get on her side. And Varys is already, like, it's so brilliant, like, how Varys is like, weren't you on the side of Stannis? And, like, Daenerys mm-hmm. pops back, well, it's your lucky day, because we've already pardoned other people that are untrustworthy. So good.
That was
so
cool.
Good. It was so good. But obviously, this is also, so Cam, what do you think of this, Azor Ahai thing?
It's thrown me completely.
You reckon he's open now?
He's totally open. Has John got the strongest claim because he's got Stark blood in him as well? Does that make him a stronger claim for it? Or does it have to be true Targaryen?
Was Rhaegar Daenerys' brother?
Yep. Yeah, she's his aunt.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing Rhaegar was older than Daenerys.
Yeah, way older.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and
so
she was born when Robert became king. Yeah, so that's how young.
Which would mean, but then if you're talking about who's in line for the throne, then it is Jon Snow, because I'm guessing after Daenerys' dad, when he died naturally, like if no one killed him, Rhaegar would have been king. And then after Rhaegar, it'd be Jon Snow.
Interesting.
There's a logic there.
It goes down to the son, doesn't it? Or does it go down to the next kid from Aerys, you know, like the Mad King? Does it go down to the next kid, which is her? So what's your take? That's an interesting point, Cam. What do you think?
I think I've got to agree with Nyn, actually, there. It would go from the Mad King, if he had no children, to Rhaegar. It then goes to Rhaegar's kids if he's got kids. So that would make it Jon over Daenerys, wouldn't it?
Interesting. I don't know how it works, really, in that terms. But
I'm just thinking of royalty we have here. He's not true Targaryen. You know, Jon Snow's not.
Yeah. That's right. But there's not true.
That argument as well. Yeah. So it's open to interpretation. It depends whoever you want.
Yeah, but not everyone's going to be true Targaryen, are they? There's always going to be half-blood. It's not going to be... I don't think they're married. Did they marry each other? Did they marry each other? Did they do brother and sister things? I don't know. But the Lannisters do. That's a Lannister thing. I need to read up a bit more on that one. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to say, because obviously Jon would then be a prince if he was Rhaegar's son. And then also she's a princess because she's the Mad King's daughter. So interesting things ahead, I think. But okay, so from in that same scene, Tyrion has a really good part where he again shows a side of, you know, his judge of character. And he tells her that Jon is a good guy. He trusts him and we should, you know, they should invite him. But again, she's really like stern. At the end, you see her face when she says, and bend the knee, or to bend the knee. Like, Cam, I was like, woohoo, I like that.
I was just thinking when John reads that, he's going to be thinking, well, I'm refusing to bend the knee to Cersei. Why would I go and bend the knee to her?
I know, but he now, obviously, let's jump
he
straight
wants an
to that
ally.
Scene. Let's jump to that scene, obviously, straight away. We'll come back to other bits, but the big thing on that raven, and
she's got something that he needs.
Exactly,
that's it.
But also, firstly, Jon doesn't know if he could trust it, or Sansa can't trust it, and all dwarves are bastards in their father's eyes is how he signs it off, and that's something that Tyrion said to him in season one. So immediately, Jon's on board. It's definitely Tyrion. No problem with that. And then they have a debate, Davos, Sansa, and Jon, and they decide not to go. But obviously, that changes once Sam's. Like you just said, Nyn, the dragon glass raven turns up. So basically, do you think he was right in deciding to go without, you know, or was Sansa right in terms of sending someone?
I think they both are right in their own way. She's lost siblings. She's speaking about their granddad. Was it their granddad who got killed by the
He got mentioned twice.
You know,
actually.
So there's past, there's history. I could see why she's a little nervous and apprehensive. She's also thinking about Rob and all the Northern Lords were thinking when Rob left the North, he got murdered, betrayed. So, you know, there's a lot of them, you know, there's a lot of them scars, if you know what I mean. Even little Lyanna spoke out as well, you know, the little feisty one saying that the king in the north needs to stay in the north. You know, everyone was dead against it. I see where they're coming from because they feel stronger with him there. But then I completely get where he's coming from because she will never, ever agree to terms if he's not there. Do you see what I mean? They both speak sense, but I'm with John because he's seen something that the rest of them haven't. So I see his logic more.
Yeah, I mean, Cam, there was lots of talk of burning in this episode. When they were talking, battling, you know, when there was like, oh, the Queen of Ashes or something like that, they kept saying to her,
yeah,
don't become the Queen of Ashes. And then also, Rickard Stark's name was mentioned twice. And the big story about Rickard Stark is that he was burnt alive when he went to try and rescue Brandon Stark. So basically, when Lyanna was kidnapped, Brandon went, why, you know, to the Mad King, why the hell has your son kidnapped my sister? And then he imprisoned him because he's mad. And then, and so Rickard turned up demanding, you know, what the hell's going on? And basically he burnt him alive and strangled him or something or whatever. It was just a madness. But I think the point is burning alive, a lot of burning in this Stormborn episode. I don't know what it means. Maybe it means something going forward, but it was like, what are you trying to tell me? Like, I'm trying to find things that they're trying to tell me, but there was little things that they're trying to do there. But okay, your thoughts on that, on what Nin said as well?
Yeah, the fire is going to be massive in this, isn't it?
Of course.
Because obviously you've got the dragons. Hot fire indeed. So you've got the dragons and there is something there, Gags, but what it is, I don't know. But it was too many mentions of fire, ashes and consequences, not for something to be brewing in the background.
I think maybe it could be that they're saying, don't do it to her. Don't burn people. Don't be like your dad, you know?
But that's always what she's wanted to be. She's always had this different outlook, hasn't she? Because she was about freeing the
slavers, yeah.
Freeing the slaves and everything, wasn't it? She had a different way of being a queen. And now she's arrived back at Dragonstone. And I know we're going back to the first scene almost again. She's arrived back there and that you're right, there's been a change in her. It's like something spiritual has happened inside her. She's gone home and it's the Targaryen spirit is engulfing her through Dragonstone and she's evolving into another character altogether almost.
Yeah, she does seem a little bit more evil, doesn't she? Just a bit.
There's an edge about her.
There's an edge about her. I think she just...
I like it, though. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
She's character's great. It's so nicey, samey.
Yeah.
She said that feisty word earlier and she's got a bit of feistiness in there this episode, definitely.
She just seems... Oh God, what is it? She's impatient. She wants to just get it going. Wants to fight. After all that, John, don't you think Sansa still undermined him a little bit, Cam, when she spoke up?
Again, yes. And he had words with her in the first episode not to do that. But she has to speak. When else is she going to speak? Because at the end of the day, it was a debate. He was asking the lords, all those lords and ladies, a question about what he should be doing. And if Sansa hadn't done that, they would have just gone along with it. But the way it's panned out and the way he put it back on her to make her in charge, I thought that was superb. Absolutely superb.
I agree. But you know, like Gags, I said last time, she could effectively cause like a civil war in the North. Yeah. Leading people back to power. This time around, I felt like that was more of her caring rather than saying, I think you should give the castle to XY. To me, it felt more like sibling care.
Yeah, she doesn't want him to die.
It felt quite natural. I know she shouldn't have, again, you know, she did it in public. And again, what she said to Jon Snow in the first episode, she was giving him sound advice. But again, that should have been private. But for me, it was almost like an erratic, you know, outcry for her brother's safety.
Yeah.
Because of where he was going and the previous.
But then I was going to say also, I was just going to switch to Littlefinger slightly because it's just suddenly coming in my mind while I remember. When Jon Snow announced the message had come from the dragon, from Daenerys.
Sneaky little bastard. Yeah, he's sneaky, isn't he? He just smiled.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But when Jon mentioned Tyrion, there was a slight look of worry on his face.
Yeah.
It was just like, a little bit of fear went in his eyes, and but then as soon as he said he's going, and they panned over to Littlefinger, and he's just thinking, I've got Sansa now.
Yeah. And also, Brienne smiled because she's happy for Sansa. But she's happy for Sansa. Littlefinger smiled because he's thinking of fucking the next step.
He's thinking of, the next move on the game board.
Exactly. He's going to try and manipulate it now. And then that leads to Jon strangling him pretty much in the...
Oh, that was superb.
In the dungeons or whatever it is. But
he's made himself an enemy there now, Jon has. That's probably his... biggest enemy for me now.
And who did that in season one? His dad. Well, sorry, his uncle is the right one. Ned did that outside his brothel. Remember when he said your wife's inside, and he said, what the fuck are you on about? And just grabs him. And it was just, it was exactly the same. They're going back and they're mirroring stuff so much from season one, man. Honestly, there's loads of the little bits. It's just, basically, it's so well done that you don't notice. But now, I think what Nin said last week, there might be a bit of a turncoat thing going on. He might just play the game against Jon now with Sansa, which is going to be interesting to see. But, okay, basically, let's talk about Arya Stark. Because I was going to go to Cersei next, but we could talk Cersei in a second. Arya Stark, then, in this episode, has some lovely bits, I think. Meeting Hot Pie first, I thought was a really good scene, Nin. I really like Hot Pie, and I love his food. Like, she looks... I was hungry watching her eat. The pie looked damn good. The pie looked damn good, man. And obviously, she's eating like she's eating like a savage.
Yeah, she probably not ate a proper meal in God knows how long. You know, she's getting scraps here and there, and... bless her. And she's got... You got an ale, and like, she's drinking. He calls her Ari, and then he goes... You're quite pretty, you. I just found it really cute, you know, really wholesome.
But the main thing is like, what she found out.
Yeah, and he gives her that nugget of information. My God. He goes, where are you going? And she's like, I'm going to King's Landing. He goes, I thought you'd be going to Winterfell. And she's like, why would I be going there? The Boltons have it. And then he's like, have you not heard? Your brother took it back, Jon Snow. And her eyes just light up and she dashes off. I've never seen her move so quick in my whole life. And I, you know what? And I love the fact that that took priority, that she needed, like, in her head. Because to me, I love her, but she's a bit of a psycho and she's pretty much one-track-minded right now. She just wants to kill all her enemies. Remember, she kept repeating those names
before she went to bed. Looks like that's changed. You know,
as soon as she heard his name and that he's alive and well, that's it. She just wanted to be with her family. I love that, you know, almost that familiarity again. A bit like Daenerys when she ends up at, you know, wherever she... What's her birthplace called?
Dragonstone.
Yeah. So it's, you know, obviously, I think Arya's not been to Winterfell since the Happy Days. So she probably wants to go back. I get that.
Yeah, and she just turns her horse around as well, which is nice to say, look, I'm going that way, but now I'm going that way. And Cam, who does she meet? In the Riverlands, whatever they call it. Who does she meet? Nymeria.
Nymeria. Well, was it Nymeria? Because she wasn't sure at the end of it, was she?
Because she actually says... It's confirmed it is.
She goes, it's not... Oh, it is. All right, okay. Because she did say, it's not you, is it?
I know, but when
Nymeria went away.
You know when I said it's very clever to playing things in season one, she says to her dad, it's not me, when he says you're going to be a normal girl who's going to grow up and have kids and all this, and she goes, that's not me. But what happens is...
Mirroring again,
that she says to me, you come home now, and Nymeria's like, that's not me, man. I've got a pack. Yeah. I've got my own kingdom. I'm the queen here, bitch.
It was great the way they all turned at the same time and walked away all together, didn't they?
Yeah, but the whole pack. They didn't hurt her. That tells you everything. They didn't attack her. That she moved, they turned around and went away, and she said, that's not you. She meant it as if you're like me. You're exactly like me. You're your own person. You're your own thing, you know, your own entity. You're not going to do
interesting,
that.
Interesting, Gags. I like that.
Very interesting.
Because I took it literally that it's not her.
No, it definitely is her. It definitely is her. So that.
But you know what else I liked at the beginning when she meets Hot Pie, and Hot Pie was telling her how he bakes the butter, he burns the butter first. And
she goes, I didn't.
and she goes, well, I don't. And he goes, oh, you've made some pies. And she goes, yeah, one or two. And I had to think about it, and I suddenly remembered.
She just butchered the phrase.
Yeah, and I thought that was superb. What a line.
Yeah, it's brilliant. They really link stuff up so well. It's why it's one of the best shows ever, because so many things that you missed that are linked in together. I mean, even like there was something that I read somewhere. Can't remember which article I just read it on, but they shouted it out to Adelaide Fall for spotting the connection. At one point, Sam says to Master Aemon, who's a Targaryen as well, and though Daenerys Targaryen maintains her grip on Slaver's Bay, forces rise against her from within and without, the letter said, she refuses to leave until the freedom of the former slaves is secure. And basically, Sam goes, she sounds like quite a woman. So when Tyrion describes Jon, Daenerys goes, he sounds like quite the man. So basically, the way they're describing Jon Snow and Daenerys very similarly, very strong, they sound like quite the person. There might be something, you know, like a reveal soon for them both, which will be lovely to see. Anyway, we were on Nymeria. Nin, did you have anything on the Nymeria, you know, the scene, which was really nice and touching, to be honest. I really wanted them to be together.
I did. I thought they're all going to follow her and she's going to, you know, it's going to be that. Yeah, her, yeah, you know what I mean? Daenerys has got a dragon. She's got, you know, her own little pack of wolves, but it didn't quite happen. I love the fact that initially you thought she's in danger and, you know, you're actually fearful for her. Like, you think, shit, who's coming for her? What's coming for her? And then the pack of wolves sort of surround her. And I love the way she handles the scene. You know, she puts her little needle down and just walks up to Nymeria and just starts speaking to her. And then all of a sudden they all just calm off and, you know, the ease off and the anger and the aggression from all the wolves kind of eases off, and it's just a very, very pure moment between them.
I love it.
They're gonna meet on travels back to Winterfell. That pack is guarding her.
Yeah, they're gonna guard her now. I reckon they won't be with her full time like they normally were, like they normally are, the dire wolves, but she's gonna run into some trouble on the way back to Winterfell and they'll have some ass. Yeah, they're gonna kick some ass, which will be really good to see as well, to be fair. Okay then. That was a really nice moment, I thought, in the episode anyway. It ended a little bit like sour that she went away, but there's more to come, like Cam said. Anyway, let's go to basically Cersei doing what she does best. Trying to get other houses to join her by frightening the shit out of them. And who's there? Sam's dad. Sam's dad's there, Lord Tarly. And basically, he's quite, like, he's as rough as he is with his son. He's like, well, what the fuck are you going to do, you know, with three dragons? And then, how do you say his name? Queeburn? Something like that. You know, the new hand of the queen.
Quibern, yeah.
Something like that.
I just call him slimy old man,
but that's just me.
He goes, we're working on solutions, which, I mean, I just want to go into that because they show the skulls of the dragons underneath, you know, below decks and stuff. And like,
how huge was that skull?
How big did it get?
It was massive.
I mean, that is mental. And
can you imagine the dragon behind that?
It just would be amazing to see, wouldn't it? I mean, I think,
he named the dragon out of the sky. Obviously, the dragon had named it. But
Balerion, the Dread.
That's it.
Balerion, like the that. Dread. That's what it was.
Mad.
But they now have a weapon. They've got a weapon to try and kill him.
I know, but you know what I loved in that scene when she, like you said, when she was trying to scare them into joining her, and she's like, the Dothraki are on these shores for the first time ever. They're going to murder you all and they're going to rape your women. I'm like, chill out, Tommy Robinson.
Racism makes its way. Racism makes its way into Game of Thrones. Very big use of it.
I thought it was very clever. And when I saw that weapon, I thought, holy shit, because it actually did do damage on the skull. Yeah, you could argue that God knows how old that skull was. Maybe it's a bit fragile, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But she's got something now. She's essentially got an ace. So now she's not as vulnerable as she initially thought. She scared them. She'll have their backing. Sam's dad, we already know he's a horrible man. The way he belittles Sam kind of looks at him like a disappointment. I think he treats him like a massive disappointment, which is really horrible to see because he's not quite the warrior or X, Y, and Z that he expected him to be. Bit of a bookworm, but I love the fact that she's scared them. She'll have their backing. And now she's got a weapon, something furthermore to sway them if they are sort of diddly-dallying.
Cam, I don't think Tarly gave them his backing. He was like, when he was talking to Jamie, he was putting them down. He was like, yeah, we don't stab people in the back, as in when he killed the, and we don't slit people's throats like the Red Wedding. He was like purely giving like slaps to Jamie's face.
He was as blunt as he was when Sam went back home, didn't he? He was like, well, when we pledge allegiance to someone, that is our allegiance. So he has said, my allegiance is still with Tyrells because that's what our family is about. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because he also did say earlier, when the queen calls, I come. So because he was there, obviously.
So which queen, dude? There's two now. There's two. but I that's the thing. Which, when they say the queen, it's dependent on who they actually now say the queen is, because you can take a side and say, right, she's the rightful queen. No, Cersei's the queen. But what was interesting as well,
well, you could say it like this. Daenerys has the best offense in terms of the dragons, yeah? And now Cersei's got the defense.
Okay, we can put football into it as well, in American style, instead of offense and defense, defense. Attack and defense. Right, anyway, I wanted to just say, the way they're using in that scene, the way Jaime was using the foreigners, the race element now is becoming huge. You know, like, oh, they're going to use foreigners. Don't let them do this. They're trying to really mind fuck people using like the race card. It's mental. It's crazy. But now, obviously, they're quite clever on their side. So let's jump scenes to when they're planning what they're planning, Cam. And obviously, Tyrion's not stupid. He's not going to
send... Tyrion's on the boy. He's on the board.
He's not going to send any foreigners to King's Landing at all.
I thought that was so clever again. Oh, you know, you're there, you've got everybody chomping at the bit. We have to attack King's Landing. We have to attack King's Landing. That's the game. That's the goal. Queen of Ashes was mentioned again. Old Biddy Tyrell, as I like to call her, she mentioned her granddaughter being ashes again. It's all these ash fire references again, wasn't it? So it was really, really, really cleverly done, because at the end of the day, we've never ever seen Casterly Rock, have we, in any of these episodes? I don't remember anybody going back to Casterly Rock and we actually seeing Casterly Rock, but it is, as Tyrion said, it's the hub of the Lannister Empire. That is where it's all controlled from.
Maybe and a couple of times. Is that where Arya was when she was captive, or no?
Was that where the Lannister dad used to live?
Yeah,
it was, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the only time.
But they didn't show much. Yeah, there's not been a big emphasis on Casterly Rock, has there?
There will be now.
But there will be now, because they're going to go and attack the place. And what have they got there? We don't know. Is there an army there? We don't know. So that's
he had his own army. Remember, he rode in to save King's Landing. Remember, so
that's right, they did. But are they still protecting King's Landing because there's a war on? Or we don't know, do we? It's not the armies, but still, what's going to happen there is going to be fascinating, because you've got all the Dothraki going there. I'm guessing then, obviously, the dragons will go there as well, because I'm guessing they're foreigners as well. And obviously, Cersei's mentioned these dragons are going to come over and do whatever. So they're going to have that weapon there, and it might not have any use for the moment. We don't know. Where are the dragons going?
I think they'll go there. They'll go to Casterly Rock and just destroy.
I think so. I'm unlike you. I've only seen it once, and I've not given it as much thought as you two. So yeah, I think the dragons will go there. But I think it's really interesting that. Because obviously there's been no talk about it. We don't know if it still is a big, as big as what it used to be when Tyrion's dad was alive. I forget his name.
Tywin.
See what I mean? I'm dreadful with names. So yeah, that would be interesting.
Just about remember my name. Anyway.
Just about my own shit face.
Hands.
Shut up. Right. Anyway. So basically, we're in agreement. It was a clever plan, and before we go into how that plan worked out, there was a massive, massive part in the show of Sam and Sajora, which I loved because I really like to see Sajora get better, right? Mormont. And it just brings through Sam's personality again of loyalty. Loyalty to the people that looked after him, that taught him, and how...
Jer Mormont.
That's right. That's right. Jer Mormont. And basically...
He was the Grand Commander or something of the Black... the Night's Watch.
You know what I loved about that scene? I love the fact that when you remember Sam, when he was on the Night's Watch with Jon Snow, he was a bit of a coward and he followed the rules. And I saw elements of him sort of hanging out with Jon Snow and him impacting him because he kind of defied the main maester at this place. They were going to send him off to go and die, basically. He's only got a day left. And he went off and he was like, fuck it, I'm going to heal him myself.
Yeah, he's breaking away. He's doing his own thing, isn't he now? He I think he's realised there's a bigger purpose.
His character is much stronger. He's becoming his own person. And I like that because at first I always thought, oh, Sam's just a bit of a filler. You know, he's just like the one that everyone kind of takes the mick out of, you know, like the play, you know, everyone bullies on the playground. Well, certainly in the Night's Watch, everyone took the mick out of him because he couldn't fight, he couldn't do anything. He didn't have the skills that they required, but he's academic and he's thinking, well, that's my gift. That's what I know. I will use that and try helping in any way possible. And he's doing it now.
As soon as he killed a White Walker and became the first person in the show to kill a White Walker, I knew he was a big deal.
Yes,
he's going to be a big deal now. But yeah, Cam, what do you think of him? I thought the scene, right, where he's cutting those bits off of him, and then they cut to the scene where hot pie scene, and he's eating. It felt like it was a pie, but it felt like it was his skin and puzzles coming out. So well
that
directed.
Such a nice pie as well.
So well directed, and it was all over that guy's beard. It was just like he's eating pus. It was disgusting. Oh Jesus!
The way he was peeling it off, it was nasty.
Such good direction.
So nasty. I know. I've watched it twice now.
And it was both times. It was like, me too.
And both times I've had to turn my face away. I just couldn't watch the whole scene.
What are your thoughts on Sam, though, anyway, Cam?
Sam, I like Sam. He's going to be huge again going forward. He's John's confidant in a way, isn't he? He's there to help John. And it's like Nina said, you know, defying orders. Who'd have thought Sam Tarly, you know, when he first came, he was the biggest coward going, wasn't he? You know, he was a cowering fat pig almost as he was being called up there and everything. And you look at him now and you're thinking he's going to become something. He's going to discover something else yet.
If he saves Jorah, Jorah's going to owe him his life. And remember, so Jorah's going to go straight back to Daenerys. So it's going to make it even stronger for Jon if this happens. Do you get what I mean?
Isn't Jorah, though, banished by...
No, Daenerys? She said...
No. She sent him away to go and get better. Remember, they showed it in the little snippet.
Right. Okay.
She sent him away and she commanded that he gets better because he did something to prove his loyalty to her.
He saved her life
twice. I can't remember what he did.
Saved her life again and again and again and again. Even when he was banished, he saved her life again. So he was always there coming back for her to help her. And she was.
And he fought for her as a slave. He came as a slave as well, didn't he? Like a gladiator-esque kind of fighter and everything.
For
that's right, he did.
Amazing scenes. Yeah. And then he
it
just showed
it. It did remind me of Gladiator, that. I'm not going to lie.
Of course it did. It was just like it. And that's what the show has so many elements to it, doesn't it? And like basically he showed her the start of, you know, his grayscaling happening on his arm. And that's when she really got scared for him and really felt like, oh shit, he's dying anyway. And she kind of said, look, you go and get a cure. Come back when you've done when you're cured. That's when I want you.
And maybe it was her nice way of saying, go and die somewhere else.
Such a cool kid. I think.
God, live the stone, man.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some things happening where there's going to be reunions now. So Arya's going back to Winterfell. There's going to be, Jon's not going to be there, but. You know,
Sansa's
going to be there, but also I hope, what the hell's happening with Bran? I hope the commander at Castle Black has sent him back, you know, to go to Winterfell, mate. They've taken it. Go on, go home. I hope he's on his way back because there could be a little reunion of the Stark kids that are left, which would be amazing to see, really.
Can I ask you a question, Gags? Does Arya know the true character identity of Littlefinger? She doesn't, does she?
She doesn't know anything. No, I don't think so. I don't think she knows anything. I think,
because I know you watched it recently, so that's why I was asking, because obviously I've not gone back in forever.
No, no, she's been on her travels, hasn't she? That's why, like, she has no idea John had taken over. So it just tells you she's in a bubble. She knows nothing. Mm. All she knows is that Cersei's
No, I thought she might have known a little something while she was at King's Landing, you know, because
she's
a bit closer to her dad.
Wasn't she the one who heard people saying that they're going to kill him? And it might be that it was Littlefinger and Varys speaking or something, or Littlefinger and someone speaking. That they're going to kill him no matter what. And she was in the dungeons running around after a cat, remember? She follows a cat in, back in season one.
This is why I'm asking you, because I don't remember any of this.
Yeah,
so that could be interesting as well.
I don't think she saw his face, though. She only heard voices. So whether she was clever enough as a young kid to do that, I don't know. But it will be interesting. It will be interesting to find out. Nin, good point. So let's see. But I don't think she does. I think Varys is probably the only one who's ever spoken against Littlefinger. So he's going to be key when the time comes. Okay, so I was saying there's like reunions coming, and the big one is next week, the meeting of two major characters. But obviously, before we just get into talk to you about that, let's go and talk about the end scene, which was the most powerful scene, the most power-packed, action-packed scene of the episode. Finally, we got some action. I did, by the way, feel that this episode, they really had budgeted, low-budget episode. They were using the same sets and everything. Only the last 5 minutes they did something. But again, I didn't think it was that high budget. There were no dragons. There was only one direwolf, and they could probably, I don't know, I don't think it was that much. It wasn't attacking anyone. It was quite simple. So the directors and the showrunners have said that they had to keep the budgets down. And that's why Ghost has not been anywhere. In any of the episodes, Ghost is not anywhere because he's not dead. It's just they can't afford to have him. How crazy is that? They're saving all the money.
The more successful show.
Yeah, but it's because the episodes at the end are so rich, like of CGI and explosions and dragons and obviously Ghost, that they have to save it. So the fleet, in what is probably going to go down as the biggest cock block in Game of Thrones history, and there were no cocks involved, which, funnily enough, Euron attacks Nin, when Yara and Ilara, was it I'm so bad.
Ilandra or something?
Ilaria. Ilaria.
Is it Ilaria?
Ilaria and Yara about to get to it, and then all of a sudden there's a big, I don't know what they're throwing at it, but something hits the ship, and the war breaks out. And then tell us what you felt about the whole of the end 5 minute scene, mate.
I don't know. It was a strange one because I was obviously they were, it looked like it was just going to be a calm, whatever. They're going to get to where they need to. But I think it needed to happen. That fight needed to happen. And it was inevitable. They've ran away from their uncle. He's on a mission to appease the queen and win her affections, so to speak. Perfect target for him. Comes out fighting, comes out strong. He hits them. He completely blindsides them because they're not one bit prepared. I loved the scene because it was dark. It was, you know, the cinematography of it was great. It had like this grainy, gritty feel to it. I think, was it raining as well? I've only seen it once.
Yeah. It was dark rain.
You know, it really added to the emotion and like, and you know what? It was a war, if you can call it a war, befitting of Ironborns, because them are the lands that they live on. Do you know what I mean? That's how I mentally envisage how they live. You know, it's cold, it's wet, it's miserable. It's a bit like Manchester. And
you know nothing, Nina Kauser.
Yeah, so I loved it. I loved the fact that he was just completely fearless. He was just striking people down. He's taken two prisoners. I'm not too sure, that Ilaria woman and her daughter, but I'm not 100% certain, because I actually thought they were dead on the end when Theon, the little pussy, had the chance to redeem himself. But it was empowering and it was so realistic as well. I know it's easy for us to say, oh, you fucking coward. But as soon as he saw all them people dying, I know full well he had flashbacks to the way Ramsay Bolton treated him. And the mental and physical torture he went through. They didn't have to show the flashback. They just showed his face and him looking at all them people being killed, tortured, and massacred.
Tortured, yeah.
Yeah, tortured, and you knew exactly what he was thinking, and I thought that was powerful. The fact that they didn't need to show a flashback, you knew exactly what went through his head. And as a character, he has been tortured and been through a lot. I thought that was really good.
Yeah,
the fact that it was fight or flight for him, and he chose the flight.
Yeah, so basically. Yeah, so basically they showed someone's tongue getting cut off, I think, in one of them. So there was some parts getting chopped off. And so he was like, shit, I've been there before, man. I don't want to do this again. So he jumps off. But what I want to ask you, Cam, is was that the right thing to do from it? Was it actually cowardly or was it smart, Cam?
My initial reaction was cowardly.
Mm.
But
me too.
What was he going to do, realistically?
Mm.
What was he going to do? If he can't do anything, Euron had the axe at Yara's throat. What was he going to do? By the time he would have taken two steps, he would have slit her throat, and then he would have died as well.
And I'll tell you something. The reason why I know that those characters are not dead is because they would definitely show a gruesome death. They would show it. They would. Game of Thrones does never, ever leave it to your, oh, that person died. No, they will show you how they fucking died. They will chop their heads off. The guts will come out. And the two people that were hanging off the edge of the boat, there was two. One was hanging and the other one was lying on the pole, like on the what's called the edge. It was both the Martell sisters that got killed, which is quite sad because I love them. They were so funny, actually, before they died. They were taking the piss out of Ilaria's daughter because they were like, mama. Little did they know that was the last little argument they were going to have. And they were killed brutally as well, weren't they? So it was just, it was quite sad actually to see two. They're not major characters, but they were fun characters, I thought. And
yeah, they were.
So it was quite sad to see them go like that. But I don't think, I think it's cowardly, but I also think it's quite smart because he needs to go and try and regroup and let the others know as well what's happened, that who's dead and who's not. But they have now three captives, and that's the gift, right? That's the gift he takes.
No, they've got two. They've got two.
No, Yara
and Yara.
Yara, and her daughter, mate. They had two of them.
No. Wasn't she killed by the guys in the lower deck?
No. Because as they were about to kill her, the mother, what's the mother called?
Oh,
Yara says, why did you kill us? And he was like, no.
No,
and they get dragged off, don't they? Yeah.
They get dragged off.
Only and for that, the once, Cam, shame on you.
I'm sorry, I was making notes as well. So, and then I got wore a verse from Gags, and I thought, I didn't need to make notes. But for me, the big thing now is, this is Euron now, going to go back to Cersei with these three captives and say, here is the gift I promised you.
Yeah, for sure.
Will Cersei now turn and say, I'll marry you and create that alliance that he so desperately wants. And she needs that alliance, Cersei does.
There's one scene that we haven't talked about.
Can I just say, Euron was so badass in that scene.
Yeah, he was badass. Did you see his entry as well? His entry where
coming down on that.
Oh, the edge of the ship. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, superb.
Just brilliant, wasn't it? And he just lands, crushes someone at the same time, and he's screaming. It was like, I'm here to kick your asses. And he does. Fair play to him. He's going to be a good villain, I think. His demise will be nice to watch. That's what you want. Do you want to build characters that whose demise are really good to watch? So once he's killed by Theon, that will be fun. Well, that's if Theon gets that far. But one scene we didn't talk about, guys, which was the return to nudity and sex scene in this show between Grey Worm and Missy, right? Let's just call it Missandei, yeah? And I just wanted to say, for a man of like no words, he became a bit of a mouthy fucker, right?
Where did he learn that move?
I don't know. But you know, it was my little joke.
For a man who's been locked away with other guys for all that time and they're not able to do anything, the man had some moves.
Yeah.
Gotta give it him.
Nin, more than the bit that happened at the end, what about the scene, obviously, of them two just connecting? Because there's been loads of, like, hints to them liking each other for quite a few seasons now. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just actually on Twitter now, and an article just came up on one of the fashion magazines, and they met finally a sex scene that was quite emotional, that it wasn't forced.
Not at all. Very well done.
I have to agree, very emotional, you know. A woman wasn't taken by force or anything, you know. There was emotion to it. Yeah, I, you know what, we've kind of known for time, like, he's got a thing for her. She seemed a little taken with him as well. And as he was leaving, what better opportunity to kind of express how he truly felt. Maybe it was all that bottling up and it officially just all came out, and I thought it was lovely.
Yeah, it's getting one of the reactions on Twitter where it's one of the best scenes because they've not seen stuff like that. Well, they've been waiting for that to happen, something to finally, and people have been quite emotional about it. So very, very interesting reaction from people. Cam, apart from what he did, was there anything from you in terms of how they got there, the build?
It was the way he was trying to explain his love, the way he went through it, and it was explaining how, you know, the fear, it was all about fear.
Not seeing her again, yeah.
Yeah, and he couldn't say the word love because he doesn't know what love is, does he? He's never experienced love. All he's ever experienced is fear. Everything in his life growing up has always been about fear. The Unsullied are about creating fear. They thrive on fear. They you know, that was the way they were. And I just thought that was just such a great way of saying I love you without actually saying the words. And at first she was, you know, you could see the look on her face and she's like, what is he talking about? Why does he fear me? And then slowly it dawned on, you could see the
I'm used to that emotion.
Who are you in fear of? So,
she's so stupid.
No, people say it to me.
You scare me.
You intimidate me.
No, but I think
all
it was
5'3" of you.
Oh, she should be Tyrion then, really. Anyway, well put, Cam, I thought. Well put. Let's move on then before we finish on to, obviously, some theories, what you think is going to happen next. Nain, what do you reckon then? Let's talk about the Arya stuff first. What do you reckon's next then for her?
It's going to be interesting to see her match up with Sansa because they didn't have the best of relationships. I think she kind of really despised her sister for all her girliness and how she was so head over heels of, you know, in awe of Joffrey, despite Arya always thinking he was a little cunt. And obviously her friend got killed because of him as well, if I remember correctly, in one of the first episodes. Brilliant. You know, so she, you know, and she always saw her as this horrible spoiled brat. You know, there was a lot of her sister, you know, like sibling rivalry. They didn't have the best relationship, so it's gonna be interesting to see how them to, and maybe to some degree, like I've always said, Sansa's to blame for obviously Ned losing his head, and you know,
for everything, the whole family dying.
So it's gonna be interesting to see how she sees her first time and how she's able to connect with those emotions, you know, whether she's grown up from it because she's seen a lot of the world herself, or will everything just come flooding back for her?
Interesting. You know what? I didn't even think of the relationship between the two, because you're right, it was dodgy. They weren't very happy. But it is a reunion from season one, though, Cam, because they haven't been seen on screen for 5 years or so together. So it'll be nice to see, won't it?
It will be really good. I don't think there will be so much
bad blood, because I think they're all on the same page now, aren't they?
They are. They've got a common enemy in the Lannisters now. I'm quite disappointed that Arya's gone north and not gone south, because I was looking forward to seeing how she was going to kill Cersei, because I had a theory on how she was going to do it, but obviously that's at the moment been blown away.
What was the theory?
She's going to wear Jamie Lannister's face.
No, she wasn't. I don't think she was. I think she was going
to
wear...
She'd have to kill him to wear it then.
I think she would have gone for Qyburn.
Ah.
And then because he's always next to her. He's the closest character right now to Cersei. Cersei's confidant is Qyburn, I think, not so much Jaime. So he's the hand. So that's where I thought Arya was going to go. So I'm quite disappointed, like I say, that she's gone north, because when she was outside the inn, I was thinking, go south, go south. And she turned the horse north. I'm like, damn.
I was so, the opposite. I was like, go fucking north. Go home, woman. Go
and I was like, you need a hug, girl. You need a hug.
You've been on your own. You've been on your own this whole time. Go home.
Yeah, but she was on a mission.
No, Cam, the mission
but
can wait.
She can go back to King's Landing stronger with an army.
Exactly. With backup. She's going alone. She's going to get caught out. She's talented. Yeah, she's got loads of skills. She's got loads
of
magic.
She's vulnerable.
But she's vulnerable, man. She's vulnerable.
Time will tell.
I think go back. And you know what? She's probably not going to get to meet John, which is the big one, because she loves him. Because Needles come in handy. Very handy for her. So, you know, so I just think that's nice. And obviously the next big one, Cam, is John meeting Daenerys. Finally.
Yes.
Which is, they're related, but they don't know. So I don't know what's going to happen, mate. Because they could go either way with this. She could, like, lock him up if she wants.
I think they're going to fall in love.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
That's
Let's be
not
honest.
Good.
He's a good-looking guy. She's a good-looking lass. And you can see there's going to be a chemistry there. But the chemistry could be because they're related.
Ah, so it's going to be the Luke and Leia thing where they don't know why why there's a connection. But really,
that's right.
There's no Darth, though. That's the problem. Anyway, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But that's what I think is going to happen. And the alliance, I think an alliance will be forged because of that chemistry. That's what I see happening.
Do you agree with that, Nin? You think that's going to happen?
I think he's pretty spot on. Oh. But I still think deep down he's still got a bit of... I don't know. I always think that Ygritte was his one true love. I loved Ygritte.
I think he's going there with... He's so focused right now. I don't think he's going to switch off from his focus. He is so focused that the Night King is coming. And you know what? Worry about the war that's coming that way. Not that way. And he's going to say, look, I'll look after that side, but give me the fucking Dragonglass. You'll go and do what you want down there. Let me handle the North, but I need the Dragonglass and I need some of your people. And I reckon that's what he wants. I don't know whether she's going to allow it, because I think he's going to have to bend the knee and just accept being Warden of the North, because I don't think he's going to be able to be King of Westeros.
But he said it, didn't he? What? He said, I didn't want to be...
Not bothered about
it. He goes, I never wanted to be King. You asked me to be King.
Yeah, so it's not his thing. So I reckon he'll give it up easily. And that's where maybe the Sansa and him problem will come. Because you know what she's like? When she gets a mindset and something, she'll probably become that sport brat again. I want to be Queen of Westeros now. But he likes Cersei. But let's see. Loads of interesting stuff to happen. I mean,
there is a lot of Cersei in her now, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. There is a lot of Cersei in her now. But anything else you guys want to discuss about that episode? What's going to happen next week? Anything you think, is going to be really interesting? Nin, you first.
I kind of liked, I know you didn't speak about it, but I really liked the scene between Daenerys and the old Tyrell lady when she goes... he's a wise man. Be a dragon. When she goes, I've been around a lot of wise men, and I've outlived them all. You know why? Because I didn't listen to them.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was the only person in that little time of Daenerys where I think there was genuine respect from Daenerys.
I agree, but I think her motives are all wrong now. I think her motives have changed since all her family got wiped out. Before, she was
But she hasn't really got a leg to stand on, has she? Because let's be honest, she did kill Joffrey.
No, did she? Wasn't it Littlefinger?
No, it wasn't Littlefinger.
I'm sure it was her. I'm sure she had a conversation with Marjorie. Do you think I was going to let you marry that psychopath? Or worse to that effect?
I think she mixed, I think her and Littlefinger got together, though, because he did say... Because I think Sansa said to him, why did you get Joffrey killed? And he was like, well, what did you think I was going to leave you there? Stuff like that, you know? So, yeah, interesting. Okay, so we probably just got to get to the bottom of that by next week when we get together again and talk about that, whether it's her or... But, yeah, I think Tyrell's had a part in it. But she's now more vengeance. Even when she went to Dawn, she was like, cut the crap. Are you going to help me kill him or what? And that was pretty much it. Normally, she's more tactical, more like... calm and relaxed and one of
but she's lost
things.
Something and she's lost her her pride and joy
everything
grandson and granddaughter, isn't it?
Basically the family name has been wiped out now. She's the last one, and let's be honest, that ship sailed a long time because she can't spring any more babies, you know. The Tyrell name is gone.
True. I know you funny you are, man. You have to think of it the other way, but I think she's lost it and she wants her to burn. She wanted to burn people. She wanted to burn things. And I just think, shit.
Yes.
If someone's trying to make her like the Mad King, as soon as that happens, that people like Varys and like that, things are going to go haywire. Do you get what I mean? It's just going to go like, no, we can't. We can't go back to that.
And also,
we haven't talked about it, but obviously, had we covered the end of season six, burned them all, Cersei's kind of like the Mad Queen because she burnt them all.
Yep.
So, plenty of burning going on.
Nice, Gags, nice.
Yeah, it's a bit nuts. But I want to see what Bran's in. So from my point of view, next week, what I'm looking forward to, I hope to see a bit more of Bran. I want to know more about this Raven. The Raven is the only one that's going to tell Jon, I think, the only way Jon finds out who his parents are. So I'm really looking forward, should I say, to next week's episode. So anything, last thoughts, Cam?
No, can't wait for next week. And looking forward to see what the Hound does as well. They disappeared off the scene this week, obviously. So him and the band of the Brotherhood or whatever they're called. So I think that's going to be a very, very exciting thing when they reach. They're going to that castle where by the sea, aren't they, on the wall?
Yeah,
so something's going to happen up there where the king and the dead turn up. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wow. Okay. Anything else then? Is that it?
I'm just looking forward to seeing more people die.
Obviously, I want to know what happens with Ilaria and Yara and obviously Lara's daughter, see where they go with that and how Daenerys reacts. If she was pissed off this week, I'm fearing what she's going to be doing next week, but should be good. I'll be back next week. Again, a massive thank you to Nina and to Cam. That was a great show. And I'm trying to do more On the Box shows in the middle, but I think we'll just stick with Game of Thrones for now. Yes, so thank you very much, and we'll chat next week.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.